We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Can we just give a God bless you to the worship team just for leading us? You know, these guys are, they're faithful, as so many. But you know what really impresses me is that I just felt this morning that we just need to land there for a moment. And we're going to come back and worship together. And the guys don't go, hey, forget you, Heath. We're doing what we want to do. Somehow he gels this thing together that he calls family, and we build together. But I just got this sense this morning. Actually, I got it yesterday. I was trying to be fit yesterday and run the 5K park run. How many of you do the park run on a Saturday morning? Great. I think we should get a fitter church. So the three of us that do it, well done to you. We're going to join together next Saturday morning, and we're going to park run it. But as I'm running there and my breath is out of me and I'm like, and I've realized I've done my first kilometer faster than I've ever done before. And I'm thinking, I've gone out faster. I got to keep going fast. There's two girls in front of me. I will beat them. I will not come behind them, whatever. I mean, this one girl, she was dolled up to the nines. She had all the Nikes, all the gear. I judged her on the start line. I said, all the gear, no idea. And then she went whoosh. I was like, you have an idea. And she even had an iPod in her ears, and she was like kind of running, you know, like, I mean, she looked good for the camera as well. And so, Lord, I had to repent on the run, but I did pass her. Hallelujah, Jesus, thank you so much. And anyway, I'm running, and God says the scripture to me. He says, I'm preparing a table for you in the presence of the enemy. And I'm like, God, what is that? I don't want to eat in the presence of things that don't like me or people that don't want to be around me. Have you ever been invited for a coffee or a meal or sat down and you go with all intentions of engaging and, hey, this would be so good, and suddenly there's a moment that turns in it and suddenly this is not a great meal. This is turned into a meal, get me out of here meal. You're paying for the bill, buddy, you know, and I'm going to escape. And I just felt God say, for us as a people, and after Kobe preached last week, wasn't Kobe awesome? I love Kobe last week. You know, the Ghanaians can preach, eh? My gosh. I realized this. You got to hold the mic like this, and you got to walk up to the people, and every time you say, I want to touch your life. Adam, touch the keys, or whoever's playing today. But I felt like God say, you got to know that the table where you're going to eat from, there is going to be stuff going on around you. The question is will you come to his agenda of the table of sit down and eat and feast when everything else sometimes around you is going chaotic? Because God is saying, I want you to walk this life to my agenda. It's time to feast. It's time to eat. It's time to look the enemy in the eye and know that actually God has placed you in that moment. And he's an overcoming God. But in the natural, I don't want to sit at a table, really. I don't want to pay money. I don't want to go out to dinner that anybody that really doesn't want to go out to dinner with me. It's a waste of time. But in God's place, he says, I've prepared a table for you in the presence. It's right there. But you see, when in the presence and he's there, you can be rest assured that whatever's going on, he has it in his hand. We just got to walk to his agenda, not our agenda. And I don't know where we are at, where you're at as a person, but I kind of been sensing for the last maybe year that we're living in times where the greatest draw or the greatest pressure, I guess, is on the fact that my opinion needs to count. What I say needs to count in this world today. And I think there's a tendency right now is that there's a need to be right or a need to be correct. I think sometimes, church, we're fighting battles that are not ours to fight. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with some things. And we're trying to engage in conversations that really are no need to engage on. And the enemy is distracting us from a place of where our eyes need to be fixed on. and pulled away. But it is a bit of the sign of the times, because if he can't get you away from Jesus, the enemy, what he does, he just brings extra stuff and distracts you. Those of you ever like spoken or wanted to preach a word or feel like God's saying something to you, it's really interesting that you have one scripture and you feel like I'm going to dig in here. And the next thing, there's this mountain of scripture that starts to come at you. And suddenly you're going, is this what the Lord said? Or is this what the Lord said? Is what the Lord said? Or is this what the Lord said? And suddenly you don't know actually what he's saying, because we've got caught up in the distraction of what he's saying. But there's this wave of thing that my voice needs to be heard. My voice counts. It's my right to have my opinion heard. And the media, the social media networks we're a part of amplify us that. They give us a license to do that. There's kind of no responsibility around that. We can shoot anything off we like and say what we like. And I know there are some boundaries, but I would say those boundaries are coming down even more and more. And it is about my opinion, because it counts. It's actually not about my opinion. It's about Jesus' opinion. It's not about what I think in this moment. It's about what he declares in this moment. Why do we do this? Because we feel like as a planet, there's an entitlement that I need to say something. We have more opinions, thoughts, ideas on matters. You know what they start to bring? They bring confusion and they don't bring clarity. They take our peace away. If I had to ask you how many times this week you felt like, you know, your peace was gone. You know, that's not God's will. He said, I want to bring you peace. I want peace to flow out of your life, fruit of the Spirit. But we end up in a place sometimes where there's so much other stuff that our peace goes. And then we land up in this place that my way must be right. Here's the truth, right? We can't all be right. It is impossible for every one of us on every point, on every opinion to be right. Somebody is wrong. Somebody's opinion is not the right, is not truth. Bible says knowing the truth sets you free. The truth doesn't set you free, but knowing the truth sets you free. You can talk the truth. You can even quote it what you like. You can tell, but you got to know it within you. It's got to come out of you. You got to live it. And at times in our planet today, our truth will be tested by what we stand by. I would suggest, church, if you're a Bible-believing person, Bible plus nothing, Bible minus nothing, we're living in an age where you need to know what the truth is. You need to square some stuff up in your life. What am I standing for in this moment? Because if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. And this cuts across my opinion. If I had to relay the stories of my life of how many opinions I've had contrary to the Word of God, God's so kind though, and he's so gentle. He's not asking you to fix it all in a moment. What he's asking you to do is go on a journey with him. He's saying, will you bring this whole thing into submission with me? You see, it's not a contest of who knows more. It's a case of who's going to walk into his freedom. If every way is right, you can't draw any lines, any boundaries, any guidelines, any absolutes, because everything is right. Follow that train of thought to the nth degree. If everyone is right, you cannot condemn anybody, or you cannot criticize, or you cannot say anything and say, I'm not so sure about that. You cannot come with one opinion and then say, well, you know, I really don't think you should be doing that, because actually everything's right. And you got to sense the sign of the times that we're in, that we're going to this place as a society and as a people where actually bring down the walls, let's do whatever, because it's my right. Why don't you open your Bibles with me to James chapter 4. I want to read you some scripture, see how far we get in the next sort of 20, 25 minutes. And I've really been mulling over this for a long time. Let's read the scripture together. James chapter 4, verse 1 to 10. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? When you enter a place where something knocks you off or peeves you off, it's because inside you there's a conflict that then comes into disagreement with what the other person is thinking or saying. How many of us ever hid behind a, I'm like that. I'm a bit of a, I'm a fighter who's a non-fighter. You know when you read something or somebody says something and on your prince, I'm going to knock their head off. You wouldn't really. But you want to be, you know, you want some bravado to kind of come out in that moment, to kind of air the fact that you are peeved off, or that actually what you're really saying is your opinion's wrong and my opinion's right. And if I was in front of you, under my breath, I'd tell you I'd want to knock your head off. But in face, I'd be like, And we need to understand there is a war that rages inside of us where God is starting to deal with it and starting to work. And we have to check how our response is to those things. Have you ever met somebody who's so adamant about their point that they, as a Christian, that they forget the simple fact that they're a Christian and how we're supposed to conduct each other in each other's presence is with humility? Oh, well, what about the fact? Forget the issue. What about the fact of us just sitting together and discussing? No, I don't care about that. This is my point. Well, actually, we've missed the very thing of how we need to connect. You know, as your kids grow up, sometimes you can't just shout at them about stuff or talk to them you begin to have discussion. I love the fact when Noah comes downstairs and says, Dad, I just want to discuss this with you. It kind of means he's got a point contrary to my point, but he's got a point. And he sits in front of me and goes, I've been thinking. I'm like, get to the point. He said, give me a moment. And so he starts to trail this journey. And I see he's working his angle as a 10-year-old. And if he gets it right, he just looks at me like this. Goes, Dad, I love you. And then you're like, yeah, whatever. You can do whatever you like. But there's this moment where he's learned as well to discuss the moment, not scream the moment out at each other. And I had to realize he crossed over from being this kid that I had to like kind of direct to this young man who now wants to engage in a conversation. There is a healthy way to speak to one another. There is a healthy way to bring something that burns deep in our heart that we are standing on that maybe has been there because of opinion, because of feeling, because of history, because of circumstance, because of what you've lived through. It is yours at the moment. But when we place it at a point higher to what God's opinion is, we're in a little bit of trouble. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here. Is this not that your passion are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. Jeez, Lord, let me not get there, please. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. Oh, Father, I've forgiven them, but you deal with them, Lord. Ever prayed that prayer? Lord, look at my clean heart, but them bring vengeance. We do it, don't we? Total forgiveness, but Lord, bring them to their knees. Let them realize their bad ways, God. For my own passion. And then it goes on, you adulterous people, oh my word. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You can't play this friendship game with two bunches of people. I want to be a friend of God. Remember that Israel Houghton song? I am a friend of God. I'm not going to sing it for you. Or do you oppose, or do you, sorry, suppose that it is not, it is no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealousy over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. You know, God is a jealous God over you and over me. He wants exclusivity to your heart. His desire is your heart. His desire is to be able to not have those blockages in places that he can weave himself into the very fabric and essence of who we are and what we say. And I know we're a work in progress. And man, I am definitely a work in progress. But he wants to weave himself in. And by the grace of God, in the church of God, we give each other space for that to take place. We come with humility in front of each other. We speak to each other well. And we say, do you know what? I'm going to be on this journey with you. It's the same again. I come back to our kids. How can we expect our kids to be perfect in a way when they're growing? Sometimes we've got to look at each other in a bit of humility and go, man, you're on a journey just like me. This is awesome, isn't it? How can we do this thing together? What do I bring to your party that you need that's going to make it a greater place to party? And what do you bring to my party? And how can I bring that with honor? instead of it telling you what to do, instead of it giving my opinion and saying, if you don't like it, forget it. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Thank you, Jesus, we are called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, rather serve one another humbly in love. I kind of think, and I don't know what your opinion is, that this side of the cross in this new covenant, we have a greater responsible freedom. On the other side of the cross in the old covenant, after the Abrahamic covenant, we sit in this place where there's all these kind of things you do. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. Now, Jesus goes, come on, guys. I want you to walk in this thing. I want to build this relationship with you. It goes on in verse 15 to say, in verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. I believe God in this time is looking for a people who are so listening to Him and engaging with the Holy Spirit that was in them and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through them, even through those things that we think we've established as truths in our life, that God wants to actually say, that's not the truth. I have a greater truth for you. You see, because when we establish things in our lives that are not truly the truth, that's the place where it wrestles and it brings conflict. Because if the Holy Spirit is in you, it stirs in you. He doesn't want you to settle for something else. He might allow you a bit of time and go, okay, I'm going to back off for a moment. We're coming back to this issue because actually it may be a foundational issue that needs dealing with. And before it's dealt with, we're not going to move on from this place. We are going to be stuck in this churning of this conflict. And it's actually going to cause you to have conflict with somebody else because it's such a strong thing and it's not a place of surrender. We don't get to fit Scripture into our preferred lifestyle. We get to fit our lifestyle into what God has declared in Scripture. It doesn't work the other way around. The conflict happens and it wrestles, but it engages me in the wrestle. And generally the wrestle is based on my experience, my emotion, my feelings, my desires, my pressures. I was sitting in the field yesterday with Kobe and we were just laughing about something and playing volleyball or whatever. And he said to me, he said, have you ever noticed how many times people tell you, I feel like this is how it should be? He said, sometimes I feel like stealing. Does that make it right to steal? I feel like going giving that guy a bit of a, does that make it right to? See, we can't live by feelings. We've got to bring our feelings into a place and say, and I know I'm not dismissing what we're feeling, but we've got to weigh it up. And that's why you need counsel. And that's why you need the Holy Spirit and good people around you. Say, God, why am I feeling like this? Speak to me. Get key voices in your life. Put them on speed dial. Number 2, because God's number 1. Speed dial 2, speed dial 3. I don't know what God's number is, but you know, figure it out for yourself. But, 5015, there we go, Psalm. Graham's got it for you. But put it, you know what the point is? The point is that you need people around you because we try and figure this thing on our own and we generally end in more turmoil than when we started. I hope I'm making some sort of sense here. We're going somewhere. The discovery, the discussion, the growth, and the learning, all good, but what happens is when arrogance and pride comes, it causes conflict. Depending on our character, we declare our actions where the conflict is happening. If you're kind of a bit of a flamboyant kind of person, you'll give it to somebody. This is my opinion. Great, awesome. And you got to learn about each other. I'm a pretty straight kind of guy. You know, I'll say what I need to say, and some people are like, oh, Heath, why did you say that, you know? And then I do love people. I do my, Leah will say it differently to me. Graham, I think Graham's pretty direct, you know? You know, he'll entertain my thought and he'll say, no. And I'm like, whoa. Especially when it comes to woodwork. No, we're not doing that. Oh, but Graham, it's fine. We can do it like that. It's no problem. Or you end up in the place that you're the type of person that actually declares it with your life where you just ignore it. I'm not going to deal with the conflict that rages inside me. I'm going to hide it. Do you know that in this place, in family, and you may not feel like this right now, but in family, this should be a safe place to actually bring everything. When I watched in that I don't call it a conference, it was an encounter. When I watched men run to the front and women to say, do you know what, I've been in adultery. And they get on their hands and knees in front of 1,000 people. That is a place where there's no shame. That is a place where there's no condemnation. What are we hiding or keeping in us that actually needs to come out so that conflict can stop raging? And that we can start to actually deal with some stuff. Because if we don't deal with it, we're not free people. And if we're free people, we begin to set others free. And if we love people, we love others. And if we hurt people, we hurt others. And if we're always in conflict, we'll bring in conflict with others. But if we shout about it or we hide it, both leave us in turmoil. Because one, we're trying to force our opinion. The other one, we're actually trying to run away from what God's trying to do. But it still leaves us in a place of turmoil. We go back to that scripture in James, verse 6, it says this, but he gives more grace, therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Whew. Jesus, help us. Verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. In the humbling of ourselves, I'm taking a moment, I don't want to go too fast, Jay. In the humbling of ourselves, in the presence of the King, there is an empowerment that he bestows on us. Space is created for us to journey through whatever it is. You see, the enemy comes and lies and says, if you reveal this, people are going to push you out. They're going to shut you out. They're going to not want you, and your space is going to become closed. No, actually, if you come with a humbling, there's actually an openness and a space to journey this thing. Because you say, God, I'm not sure about this. I don't know how to handle this, but I'm willing to bring it before you, and I'm willing to walk this journey through with you. And suddenly, there's a space that is created. The Bible says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Why do we live as a church as if there is condemnation? Why do we not bring it? Maybe you've been hurt in the past. Can I ask you again? Trust again. Trust again. Take a risk just once more. I can't promise you won't get hurt, but you ain't going to get out of it keeping it. You ain't going to get out of it holding it. I believe that when you come as a humble person, I believe that heaven has an invitation then into your life. There's space. I believe that there's opportunity for breakthrough when you come in that humility. Saying, God, I am going to submit to you. I'm going to bring this to you. I'm going to bring this to those that I journey with. Dare I say it, and we're not sure about this in the church today, I'm actually going to bring it to those that you've placed over me to look after me and shepherd me. Because my Bible says that God does place people, not to sealing us, but to cover us. Carries on to say, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Oh, Lord, help me with my double-mindedness. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. But verse 10 says this, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Screaming about what I think it should and shouldn't be is generally not humility. Humility, though, is neither a weakness. Proverbs 22:4, it says this, humility is the fear of the Lord. Check this out. Its wages are riches and honor and life. On the end of our humbleness and our surrender to God in whatever we've placed as this so-called opinion is actually a wage. It's actually a breakthrough. It's actually an honor. It's actually life. And the very thing we're holding on to that we think is so strong and so important, or we want to hide in that, on the end of that, on the end of actually going, God, I'm going to bring this to you, and I want you to direct me, and I want you to help me with this, suddenly there's life at the end of that. Suddenly, have you ever had those moments, and probably if I went around and said, who can testify to this, there's been strongholds in you that you've held on to, and then you've come to a place and go, God, I'm either going to release, or I'm actually going to be done with life, and you release them, and suddenly you look back and go, why did I hold on for it so long? Why did I not? There's a world out there crying for a people who truly walk in his freedom. And we can't sit as the church going, forget it, I'm not going to shift, I'm going to be bound, I'm not going to deal with some stuff, and then expect and go, oh Lord, save them out there. I watched yesterday a whole bunch of kids stand in an auditorium and the uncomfortableness of these leaders that had brought them. I called the leaders to the front. I said, won't you stand in the middle for me? Man, they were reluctant. Why as adults do we get to a reluctant place of submission? You know, I felt like, I'm the guy with a mic. Get in the middle. On the end of it, you know what was on the end of that? Was the kids standing there, putting their hands on their leaders and declaring his goodness over them. Saying, come on, kids. I didn't have to ask the kids twice. They're like, let's lay hands. Let's pray. Let's speak over our leaders that have brought us. Oh, no, but I don't want to move out of my seat. I'm quite comfortable here. Actually, I'm going to complain about the loudness of that song afterwards. Who cares about the loudness of the song? But I wanted them to see. And then these leaders afterwards come up and go, Heath, I was reluctant to come because why? Because you don't want to bring in submission to God. Proverbs 25:9, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. How many of us in this place today want to know his ways and walk the right thing? Ma, right here. Okay, humble ourselves. God, I bring this to you. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. We love that verse in the Bible. Ask for wisdom. Okay, be humble. Come with humility. God, give me wisdom on this situation. Do you know, most of the time, and this is just me being honest with you, because I feel like we got to be honest. Have you ever heard when people say, I'm going to be truly honest? Well, what were you earlier? Like half honest, dishonest? What's the deal? You know, I think we just say some stuff. Maybe it's just idiosyncrasies. I don't know. But in this place, God is teaching me, Heath, when something comes against you or comes in contradictory to what you think it is, your first position is not to find an angle that you believe is right to get back at that person. Your first place is to pray and bring in submission what you think right now. God, help me come in this scenario, whatever it is, with humility. God, shift my heart on this thing if it needs shifting. Pray for your heart. God will shift their heart if it needs shifting. Quit, oh Lord, shift their heart. Maybe it's your heart that needs shifting. Generally, my heart needs a little bit of shifting. There are times, though, I tell you what, that God will say to you, you stay where you are because their heart needs shifting. And that's not, don't you? It's not like, yay, I'm the man or lady. I'm right, you're right. No, it's not that. Because that's not humility again. But we sit in this continuum, and I'm going to kind of draw a chair in planet space over here. And pride sits over here, and humbleness sits over here, and false humility sits over here somewhere. And we go between these places, and we have to ask God, where am I actually sitting in this continuum? Where am I sitting? Are there places of false humility? Humility is deciding simply to believe and accept what God says about us. It is agreeing with what God says about you. So the moment you disagree that you are not fearfully and wonderfully made, you're not walking in humility. The moment you disagree that God has not gifted you and he's not positioned you and placed you, then you're not walking in humility. The moment that you speak over somebody else, something that has contradicted what God calls out, is not walking in humility. Isn't it interesting what humility really is? When we stop declaring what God says is over us, any thought, any comment that is not in line with who God declares who you are puts us outside the realms of true humility. Quit speaking rubbish over yourself. Quit speaking lies over yourself. Quit talking to yourself in a negative way. Speak life over yourself. Well, I don't know what that is. Well, can I encourage you? Open your Bibles. I'll give you some scriptures. I can start to direct you. We can help you with that. But let's start to speak life over who we are. It's not arrogance. It's truth. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes. Are you not? Some of you are disagreeing, like, I'm not so sure. I am placed here by God. I am called by God. I'm chosen by God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I belong. No weapon formed against me will prosper. You can keep going and keep going, declaring the truth over our lives. We know words are powerful. But the moment we come in opposition to that, we end up in this place of actually in false humility or sometimes in pride. It's not humility to declare yourself to be useless, worthless, or nothing but the garbage outside. That is actually unbelief. Sometimes humility can be masked by unbelief. Unbelief. I don't know if I believe this, God. We speak it. Unbelief often masquerades as humility. It tragically becomes a way of life when it is embraced as a virtue. What do I mean by that? It contradicts the very truth of who you are. It is demeaning to your glorious nature. It says the finished work of Jesus is not enough, and it degrades what God has accomplished on the cross. Stop speaking things of yourself that are not true. Speak life, speak liberty, speak freedom. That doesn't work around, I'm right and you're wrong. That's not the truth. The truth is what God places over you. That's humility. God seems to think this. This is what God seems to think when I read my Bible, that you're his masterpiece, his tapestry, his workmanship. To say anything besides that is to call God out and actually say, you're wrong and I'm right. That's not submission. That's not humility. That is your opinion higher than his opinion. And it is not higher. His opinion is the highest. His ways are higher than our ways. God does not sit on a shelf with every other God. He's way above. He's not sitting next to Buddha going, how are you doing? Maybe you should lose a few pounds, buddy. He's not sitting there doing that. He's way above. Above everything. Jesus, if we just want to clarify who we're talking about. The name above all names. And we speak these things, and these things dwell in our head, and it causes conflict in us. And then our conflict rages with somebody else. Because truly the essence of the whole thing is God wants our heart, and he wants us to know who we are. And he wants to declare that over us today. Can I encourage you as saints of God? Whatever you speak in the next 24 hours, speak life over somebody else. Speak the things of God. Parents are thinking, how am I going to weave that one into the fact that they haven't tidied their room? You're such a great kid. I love the creativity in this room. How about we bring it down to just this pile? I don't know. Be creative with it. But true humility would be in agreeing with that you have a new nature and denying everything about your old nature. True humility does not hang on the past. To hang on it, to identify it with it, is like a grave robber. I'm going back and getting that corpse out of there. Let's bring back what I was. No, you're not that anymore. Some of you are going to have to change. I forget some of you, me, Heath. I'm going to have to change my decisions based on my nature. I'm not going to go and do that anymore. Oh, well, I'd like to. No, I'm not. Because it's not me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is old is past, and what is new has come. With false humility, there's an air of attention seeking. False humility. There's a demeaning of yourself around false humility. There is either a desire, to be noticed or a cry for help. You have to be careful. When people constantly put themselves down, you do need to ask the Lord, what's going on here? Discern what is actually taking place. Sometimes it is a cry for help. But if Jesus is who he says he is, there should be a walking out of those places and not a staying in there, if there is a true submission. Some people will say, I want to walk into freedom, but they actually don't. They want to stay in the muck. That is the truth.
And sometimes as believers, those of you who are very mercy-hearted or those of you who are very relational, it can catch you unawares because you can actually keep people just above where they need to drop to in order to actually only look up to the one who can truly get them out of that, and that is God himself. And that may, oh, that's harsh. That you shouldn't pastor people like that. Sometimes that is the right way because that is loving people well because actually I'm not getting them out of the muck at all. I'm just keeping them above it. It's like wrapping the thing in cotton wool. I don't know how quick progress is. It could be like this, but it could be like this. But either way, we got to be walking out of that stuff because I want to walk in freedom so that I can set somebody else free. I don't want to stay in the muck and in the miry clay. I want God to shift and change my voice, my opinion, my thoughts on things. His ways are higher than my ways, regardless of how I feel or I think I should live. But false humility can parade itself. True humility is not arrogance. Arrogance is a sign of insincerity. Arrogance says, I know all the truth. Arrogance and pride walk hand in hand. This is about me. Humility is staying teachable. Humility and submission walk hand in hand. And it comes through an authentic relationship with God. I'm going to land this in just a few moments, and then we're going to worship. There's a song that we're just going to sing together. But let me give you just a couple of maybe practicals. I don't know. I like to be practical sometimes. It's all good to talk about stuff, but what does that kind of look like? A humble person always asks for help, and they don't insist on everything being done their way. You know? I think there's something powerful when somebody says, won't you help me? I have no problem asking people to come help me fix the house. Just an admittance. I can't do it. Lord, I call anybody. Can you fix that? Great. Can you come over? Awesome. Love it. Maybe my motivation, I've got to check it sometimes. Do you mind if I just sit on the bench over there and watch you? But people who are humble, they ask for help. They don't insist on everything being their own way. People who are humble or walk in humility, they're quick to forgive. They're difficult to offend. Jeez, I get offended sometimes easily, eh? And they're content to wait on what God wants to do with the situation. People who are humble are patient. Don't pay for patience. And they don't get frustrated with the weakness of others. I got to work through that one, church. My expectation is people will think like I think. You did not see that? Why not? What's wrong with you? Should be like me. I do it at home. I've done it in my marriage. And my frustration levels rise, but I actually haven't communicated anything of expectation around these areas. And so I expect that somehow they're going to telepathically know exactly what I'm thinking at that moment. You know? It's incredible what we do. Maybe I'm the only one in this on my own. Number four, the humble person is a peacemaker. Huh. In fact, we need humility to maintain peace in our lives. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but readily adjust yourself to and give yourselves to humble tasks. A humble person knows when to be quiet. The loudest voice does not mean you win. It really doesn't. We're in a battle right now as a nation. Who's going to be the next prime minister? Well, it's just whoever shouts loudest at whatever now. You know? I want to sit down in a bit of quiet and say, what have you really got to say on some stuff? What is your heart on these things? Don't get this. It's certainly not wrong to talk, but a humble person is comfortable in allowing others to have the center stage, and they don't feel threatened by that. A humble person sees their own weakness and can readily admit them. Be careful that doesn't cross over to false humility. But hey, I'm not the guy to maybe walk in this right now. You would be much better placed to walk in that. And if that cuts, that goes across everything, our workplaces, our homes, our lives. You know, those conflicts come up maybe when you, I don't know, start to date, and if you get married one day, who's better at doing the washing up? We sorted that one out quickly in our house. In the new kitchen, there will be a dishwasher. Hallelujah. But you do, you have the, and you think they're insignificant, but they're actually this thing of, my mom used to do the washing like this and use this washing powder. Well, my mom did it like this. We hung the clothes like that. And you think these, they're ridiculous things, but those are the things that creep in and cause a conflict because we've established them as absolute. Who cares how the thing hangs? It just got to get dry. You know? But my t-shirts are always foiled with two creases down here, not a line down the middle. Just looks ridiculous. Oh, there we go. Lana, just say, Heath, get back on track. Stop messing around. A humble person happily serves other people, and they don't do it to impress. Huh. You know, yesterday I had the honor of speaking to the kids and then to the leaders. You know, afterwards, all I wanted to do was jump in the middle of those kids and worship with them. But one man came up to me, greatest message I've ever heard. I'm like, sheesh, you haven't listened to much then. But I was like, ooh, I just preached the greatest message ever. He's, be careful, because something rises in you. Suddenly, I'm the greatest kids preacher that Spree's ever seen, which is rubbish. But it rises in you. It comes and it just sneaks in there. Was I happy to serve and not impress? A humble person is thankful. This is one reason they're usually so full of joy, because they release thankfulness. I'm so thankful for who you are. I'm so thankful for what you bring. It doesn't mean you can't address things in people's lives, but we're thankful for who God has placed them and who they are. A humble person has a tender conscience and quick to repent. I remember one day we were stood in a meeting just before the service right here, and Phil Mann was stood over there. And I let my mouth go and I said something to him what I thought was funny. And people laughed, and suddenly I watched his head drop and the tears started to come out of his eyes. You know, I had disgraced him publicly in amongst. Part of me was trying to reason in my head saying, get over it. Come on. No. I had to humbly stand there and say, Phil, what I said to you was wrong and I repent. Didn't take away the hurt for a few days because I hurt him. Throw away comment. No. But we can't do what's happened. What are we going to do with what has taken place? Got to come to you humbly. A leader who is truly humble treats everyone with a respect. I often look at in leadership how people treat people. Is there a respect? Final scripture. This is Jesus. In our relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus. Philippians 2. Who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. This happens. I've added this bit. Just an explanation. He humbled himself. This means it happens by being fully dependent on the Lord, dismissing reliance upon myself, my self-government, and emptying my carnal ego. And he being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by being obedient to death, even death on a cross. Humility. Jesus had declared what he needed to declare to religious leaders. He declared what he needed to declare to the disciples. He'd engage in the conversations. And then he said, I'm going to lay down my life for you. Total humility. Humbleness. Right now, Father, is this what you want me to walk through? This I will do. See, in today's day and age, everybody's trying to get a voice. Everybody's trying to get opinion. There are opinions sweeping through the churches that are contrary to the Word of God. I know that. I can see that. Bible says it's clear there's going to be false teachers. Don't be shocked. Just know what your Word says. Know who you are. And if there's things you're not sure of, Let's talk about it. You know, let's wrestle. I love Jacob wrestled with God. Wrestle with these things. God, where do we stand on these things? What is it? It's okay. But too long in the church, and I look across this nation, when there's a point of conflict, somebody walks out. That's not maturity. That's immaturity. Well, I'm hurt again. Well, you're not hurt. There's a place at the table to talk about these things. And I've watched this time over time and year after year. And God says, won't you just come and surrender? Heath, won't you lay down your opinions that are actually based nothing on Scripture, but based on your opinion in your past history? Won't you lay them down? I grew up in South Africa. I grew up in a time when apartheid changed. Nelson Mandela came out of prison. I didn't grow up with really color in my house at all. I knew people were a different color, but that was about it. You know, and I remember walking to my friend's house one day, and stood beside me was my black friend, Brendan, and stood beside me was my white friend, and I won't say his name because that doesn't matter right now. And his dad came out and he pointed the finger and he said, you, me, Heath, you can come in. You, my son, can come in, but him, he can't come in. Why? Because some ridiculous conflict that he had heard of and had hurt his family one day was done by somebody because of that color. And he built his whole opinion around that. He even went to church, this man. And when apartheid changed and people came flooding into the church and our church tripled in size in literally days, I'm like, whoa, this is incredible. He walked out. Those people don't belong here. They're not of God. Why? And we wave our heads and we think this is wrong. But because they built it on an opinion, not on what the Word of God says. And he probably didn't even believe what God says about him. Can I ask you to stand? Humbled himself, Jesus. In this time, we've been talking about discipleship for the past few weeks and what it is to walk in that place. I just feel like this is a moment where God's saying, won't you just surrender some stuff to me? Won't you just bring it? Maybe stop shouting about it and just ask the Lord, Lord, is this really the truth? Because I don't seem to be being set free here. Even in conflict, when God does deposit the truth in you, you don't rage about it. You're quite peaceful about it. You're like, I know what it is. People can be shouting. They can bring all their opinions. It's fine. It's no problem. You don't need to shout back. The Bible says when you walk into situations, you don't need to even know what to say. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say. I'm not saying don't think and plan, but He does. It's incredible. The enemy wants to catch you off guard. But he comes to us today, and I believe the Father's saying, my sons, my daughters, won't you stand in humility in front of me? Won't you stand in a place of surrender? Because you're not an old creation, you're a new creation. Quit declaring the things over you that are not true, because that's not humility. Declare the things that are true over yourself. Father, I pray right now, whatever comes our way, we are a people prepared to hold out our hands and our lives and say, I want to be humble. Help me to walk in your humility. God, help me not to build my life on opinions and voices and things that are not in line with your Scripture. And if there are tussles and things going on in my life, Father, help me to wrestle well with them in an honoring way, in a way that brings life and liberty, in a way, Father, that honors if there's a person in that conflict as well. Jesus, I really sense this is a significant moment, not just for this church, but for this land and for this nation. Humility. God, sometimes we're fighting battles that we don't even need to fight. And you're calling us just to sit at the table in the presence of our enemies. Let us just sit there and let us fight our battles just as we declare your goodness. In Jesus' name. We're going to worship. And we're just going to sing. The kids are okay just for a moment. Won't you just begin to surrender your heart to God? It doesn't mean you've got to lift your hands or whatever. This is your journey with Him. Just begin to speak to Him. Maybe today in this place you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Surrender is surrender. Jesus, I'm no longer going to walk that way. I'm going to begin to walk your way. Maybe today's that day. You say, Heath, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender. If Jesus can give His whole life for me, for everything that I have done, will do, going to do, that's not great. Take it all. If He can do that, I want to give Him my life today. If that's you, you can do that right where you are, right now. So Jesus, I surrender. I absolutely surrender my life to you right now. Right now. Jesus, I'm taking this step of faith. You know what you can do afterwards? You can come and say to me, hey Heath, I did this. Or maybe if you're a lady and you prefer not to do it, you can talk to Leah or somebody else. But I would encourage you, go and talk to somebody. Say, I did this. I surrendered my life to Jesus today. Come on, let's just begin to worship Him together. Lord, we worship You. We worship You.